Welcome back, everybody. We've got an extra presentation from Remco on a recent incident that happened at the Endix Exchange, and then we'll have the EuroIX presentation and then the IXP updates. If you could upload your IXP update through rosie.ripe.net, they'll then be available for anybody to download and for viewing from the laptop. Anyway, Remco. Right.
Thanks. This is just a really short presentation, just something I want to share with you. Yesterday, there was an outage at one of our sites, which is, rare enough. It only happens a lot, something like once a year or so. So it was pretty peculiar. And one of the site is one of the more remote ones, and we asked them what's going on, and they said, we've got some power problems. Right, so in the mail this morning, I received the following pictures. This was the the power rail where our switch was connected to. This was the actual box connected to that rail. And zooming in a bit further, this is what happens if you don't tighten up your cabling enough. And we're now going to play this obvious game with the data center. Well, that's it. That's it, really.
Okay, my name is Serge Radovic from the European Internet Exchange Association. Just before we start, I just want to get a feeling for how many people in this room are representing an IXP. And now keep your hands up if you're representing an IXP, but lower your hand if you're a member of EuroIX. So there's no IXPs that aren't a member of EuroIX here? Okay. Okay, well, I don't think I'm going to go through the sales pitch, but EuroIX was established in 2001 by a handful of IXPs, European originally, and we started to grow quite quickly, and in 2005 we decided to invite IXPs from outside of Europe to join EuroIX. EuroIX is not an internet exchange point. EuroIX is an association of internet exchange points, but someone will come up to me, and it happens every time after this, and say, so how do I join EuroIXP? Okay, so what does EuroIX offer the IXPs? Just briefly, well, we have forums twice a year, which usually gets together about 30 IXPs. We discuss a range of issues, technical, regulatory, and commercial. Regulatory updates through our part-time regulatory officer, Malcolm Huddy. We have, of course, website listings, mailing lists, online conferencing, and representation, generally through me or the board members. Further, we have a benchmarking club, which is now in its third successful year. The round's about to close, so there's quite a few of you in the room that are members of EuroIX. Please participate. If you don't participate, you will not have access to the results. So there's only a few days to go. I can't remember what date I'd set, but you should have received a couple of emails about it by now. For those of you who don't know, the benchmarking club gives the IXPs a chance to compare certain aspects of the IXP against each other, prices, staffing, all sorts of different aspects. So it's quite useful. We also have a few information repositories. One of them is the switch database, which has about 190 entries right now of different switch vendors that the IXPs are using, including the latest software they're using in any issue. So it's quite a valuable database. So as far as affiliates go, well, we're doing quite well. We now have 42 affiliated IXPs throughout the world, 36 in Europe, 3 Asians, which happen all to be based in Japan, and 3 in the US. We also have 4 patrons since July of last year. We decided to go with the patrons instead of just sponsoring events. We wanted a bit of continuity, and we wanted them to be more involved in EuroIX, and I think it's working quite well. So they're the 4 names of the switches that you should be buying. So since Ripe 53, as I said, have been quite busy. We've had 6 new members, associate members. BBIX of Japan was our first, just after the end of the last Ripe meeting. Packet Exchange, Ukraine's now on board. We've got our 3rd Swiss IXP, Leonix and Poland, our first Polish IXP. What Urix offers ISPs looking to connect to an IXP? Well, we have the service comparison matrix, where you can compare different aspects of an IXP. You can go into more detail there, look through and get information on a particular IXP, such as in this case, DKIX, where you get more information on contact, prices, and so on. The Urix ASN database, which we discussed briefly before, Curtis had mentioned it. We currently have almost 3,000 entries in the database, so these are customers of member IXPs. In Europe, there's approximately 1,425 European IXPs, unique ASNs peering at the European IXPs. I estimate there's around 1,900 unique ASNs peering across IXPs in Europe. So how can you access this information? Well, it's public information. You can go to the URL there and input an IXP, links I've used in this case, and you'll get all their customers and the AS numbers. You can also search on an AS number, and you'll get back the name and of the AS number that it's associated with and the IXP. And you can also search by name, and then you'll get the ASN that name is using and at which IXP they are peering. The peering matrix also sort of compares IXPs against IXPs and shows the overlap or the uniqueness of the ASNs that peer at that IXP. Do I have a laser pointer? Is that a pen or a laser pointer? It's a pen. So, for example, if we look at M6 here, you'll see the ASNs.
We're broadcasting.
Oh, sorry. If you look at M6, for example, you'll see they've got 252 ASNs peering at the exchange, and 23% of them don't peer anywhere else. So that may be of interest to you. You can click there and see the 57 that only peer at M6, no other Urix member exchange in Europe. Or on the other hand, you can see that there's 195 that do. Possibly you want to look for a backup IXP. You might go along and see who else has got a lot of M6 customers. In this case, in a little snippet that I've done, obviously the whole matrix doesn't fit in. You'll see that 94 ASNs also appear at DKIX. That could possibly be a place you'd use as a backup. Or you may possibly want to go somewhere where there's no customers that are appearing at M6 and so forth. So that tool's also public, and you can use it as you wish. This is my list of the IXPs in Europe. I've currently got 111 on this list. If anyone, there's the URL at the bottom. If anyone sees an IXP that should be on that list, or if you see the statistics that aren't there and you know that they are public, please let me know. I think it's the most comprehensive list of IXPs within Europe. So using that list, I do some traffic stats. I've seen since the last Write meeting that there's been about a 36% increase in aggregated IXP traffic, and I'm talking about IXP peak traffic here. At the end of April, it was 864. The peak actually came at the end of March, 920 gig, which I'll go into a little bit now. What I wanted to do is quickly, I do also look at Asia and the States because I've got the few Japanese members, and I look at Hong Kong, Twix, and a few Perth, Wakes, a couple of other exchanges. So it's not totally representative of Asia, but I think it gives you a good picture of the trends that are going on there. What's interesting, the first month you can see, that's the Christmas. I guess in Asia it's not such a big deal in the New Year. A lot of countries are different to Europe's New Year. So the drop in traffic isn't that big. First 3 months was quite good increases in traffic, and last month has been exceptional for Asia. US, it's a little bit different story. You'll see at the Christmas time, there's quite a big drop in traffic, and then a steady rise for the first 3 months, and then it pretty much flatlined in the last month. Now, Europe is a very different story. Again, you'll see the Christmas drop, a big rise over the first 3 months. Actually, this total that I've got here is not only the Urix member IXPs, but all IXPs in Europe that I can get statistics from, and it's gone over 1,000 gig terabit. But there was a drop in peak April traffic as compared to peak end of March traffic. Now, I can only assume, and maybe someone's got a better answer, that this is due to the weather that we've been having. When you look at the summers, the exceptional weather, I think everyone gets out of the office as quick as they can, down to the bar, beach, or anywhere in the sun, and traffic drops. So, and I think most of you would agree with that. What I've been looking at statistics since about July 2002, so this is a representation. All those circles are the summer of each year. So you see in 2003 and 2004, the drops weren't so big. The real big drops in the summer started occurring in 2005 and 6. The one just above 2006 is the New Year's Eve period, or Christmas New Year period. And this is our latest drop of 2007, the start of summer. So what I thought I'd do is just show you the last two summers where there has been drops. What's interesting here is if you look at 2005, you'll see that the real drop in traffic didn't start occurring till after the end of June, mid-July. In 2006, it was almost a month earlier, and now in 2007, it's more than a month than that. So, but what is interesting, if you go back, is that you'll see in all these cases, even though there's a drop that lasts a couple of months, you'll see that we can almost draw... You could almost draw a line here, and you'll see the traffic always comes back. So, and I'm sure that's going to happen at the end of 2007 summer. Just quickly, news about the forums. We just had our 10th Year IX Forum in Amsterdam in April. 33 IXPs attended, which was equaled our record. So there was 33 IXPs represented. The next forum is, that was hosted by M6, by the way, and they did a great job in hosting that event. The next forum, the 11th Year IX Forum, is going to be held in Vienna, Austria, on the 12th and 13th of November 2007. This will be hosted by the University of Vienna, who operates the VIX. Christian, have I said that politically correct? Yes. Yes, okay. So please, if you're an IXP that's interested in seeing what goes on at the forums or wants to learn a little bit more about, well, I don't even need to say this, but if you're a representative of an IXP who believes your IXP should be a member of your IX, then please get them to get in contact with me or come and talk to me at the end and I'll get in contact with them. That's my contact details. The presentation is available. And that's it. Are there any questions? Okay. Sorry, Bishop.
Hi, Bija Sangani, Flag Telecom. The slide where you show the information about the members or in each internet exchange?
The peering matrix?
Yeah. Is that available to members only? Because I've just tried to get to that.
No, you should be able to get it. You can't get it from there. If you go to our homepage, the index page, on the right-hand side, you'll see something that says peering matrix. And it is publicly available. But the statistics that I make publicly available only cover your IX member and associate member exchanges. So you'll only see information on 42 exchanges here. I do actually scan all the websites. I've actually got my own details on all 111. I've got a matrix that does that, but I don't make that publicly available.
Yeah,
we'll get to it. Yep, good. OK, well, if you've got any more questions, feel free to approach me at any time during the meeting. OK, thank you.
Thank you, Serge. We'll go through the...
Oh, sorry. Don't know how that got up there. This is my favourite one. Oh, no. Okay. No, I won't do that too.
Right. So first up is AMSIX.
I think there's two there.
I need a V2 presentation. Hi, I'm Stephen Bakker from M6. I'll give you a little update of what we've been up to. There's not much to mention here. We're pretty much ports and members are still growing linearly. There's an interesting uptake on 10 gigabit ports. All the other ports are sort of flattening out, and 10 gigabit is really taking off. Right now we've got more than 100 10 gigabit customer ports. So, and we're really expecting more growth there. Traffic statistics, again, it's still exponential. We're doing, we just hit the 280 gigabits per second yesterday, last night. And the day before it was 270. So we're, it's mostly because of the bad weather in Holland right now. We're expecting a slight summer dip in the coming months, hopefully. We're doing about 175 petabyte a day. And if you average it out per member, we're doing over 1 gigabit per second per member. This is our current topology, network topology. There's not much change since the last time. Still the double star topology with two core switches, one in Nikkev, one in Telecity. And we're about to change that into this model, where we chose two new core site locations, moving the cores into those locations and just making it a more symmetric solution in that sense. What else is there to say? Oh yeah, our wonderful web portal, MyM6, see a continuing story. We're still working on it, improving it, trying to improve it. We've got a new web developer who's is going to take this over, and you may expect a complete new overhaul at the end of the summer. S-Flow, something we started last year, offering those statistics. It's quite a handy way to see where your traffic's going. It's better than just the aggregated port statistics, because that shows you how many bits you're doing, but your router already knows that. And with S-Flow, we just take a statistical sampling, for those who don't know yet. You analyze the source and destination MAC address. We map that onto IPs, because we do have the ARP table somewhere. And we can do IP to IP graphs, which is interesting. You can also group it by AS for those who have multiple ports. And you can show what you're doing with your peers, how much traffic you're doing with peers. We've got some nice interface web pages to select and sort. And we're thinking of doing, you know, new ways to show the data. Pie charts is an interesting way, but you can either do it the stupid way, which is on the left, or slightly smarter maybe. If you have a lot of peers, then the pie chart doesn't make much sense, but we'll probably get around that. Another thing that we're thinking of is replacing our current MRTG graphs with counter samples, because S-Flow also supports the export of counter. It's not really samples, it's more the counter values. And it just exports it on a port by port basis. So instead of doing an MRTG poll every 5 minutes of all your switches and all your interfaces, which is usually quite hard on the CPU of the server who does the polling, you now get your S-Flow, or you get your counters sort of spread out over time from your switches. So you don't have to do active polling, you just sort of passively wait for the counters to come in. And we're seeing some nice results on the preliminary test that we're doing. You get smoother graphs, you get the weird artifacts of high CPU on your server are gone in that sense. And if you have any suggestions for features, that's for M6 members, obviously. If you have any requests for features that you want to see or that you might be interested in, we have an email address, and just let us know. Other developments, the route servers, they're operational, they're redundant. It says 58 participants. I think it's close to 60 now, I just checked. There's 93 peerings that we have, and you get about 6,600 prefixes. There's some stuff on Enum VoIP. I don't know too much about Enum right now. But we'll be operating in the public, or SIDN is going to be operating in public Enum. And there have been several SIP IX initiatives started as well. Video working group, Kara just gave a presentation on that. And our tariffs by January 1st, 2007. It's also not all that shocking, nothing much changed. We stopped selling 10BASE-T Ethernet ports because really it doesn't make much sense in our model anymore. If there's any kind of flux in the on the switches, they start flooding, and with all the 10 gigabit traffic, you just flood a 10 megabit port. It doesn't make sense anymore. So we're not selling it anymore. We'll support it for as long as people still want it, but really, everybody should just upgrade to at least FE or GigE. Still no one-time connection charges, no annual membership fees, and no discounts. What's up for the rest of 2007? We've got a couple of M6 meetings coming up, of which the May 30th we'll have a general meeting, technical meeting, and a barbecue. We'll have our October party, traditional October party, during the RIPE meeting in October. And there's another M6 meeting in November. We'll be in the European Peering Forum, and we'll be available for contact at RIPE, NANOC, Apricot, just basically anywhere where the planes will take us, we'll be there. Any questions? Oh, I have an interesting thing to see. This is my, how do I get out of this?
Escape.
That's good. Okay. Where's the? Now I need a web browser.
Windows A.
Really? No, I just like to do.
Oh.
I do the Explorer. Fine. This is the penance I have to do for breaking something yesterday. Flap statistics. This IPv6 traffic. Now, last year, Elisa gave a presentation on IPv6 traffic that we measured with S-Flow, and it was 0.1% of the total traffic on the peering LAN.
Jordy is your friend.
Hmm?
But now Jordy is your friend.
Yes. Right now, it's 0.0% traffic. And you can already see sort of a slight decline in monthly traffic, where you sort of see it going down in the last month. But this is what happened at the beginning of this year. Somebody had an IPv6 peering for Usenet, and they canceled that one. And that was the end of most of the IPv6 traffic. Plus, people tend to upgrade routers, and from one version to the other, they suddenly don't do IPv6 anymore, and they just think, what the hell, we'll just switch it off. And they don't tell anybody, but. So that's what's happening with IPv6 at M6. I'm sorry I can't give you any better news there. So, any questions? No?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And next up, Arnold.
Yeah. So the latest one. Just look at the details. Okay, hello. I'm Arnold Nippe from D6, and I'm here with my colleagues Frank Orlovsky. Frank?
That's
me. Yes, please stand up. Frank is our sales guy. And Wolfgang Tremmel. Wolfgang is taking care for customer relations. So actually, what happened since last RIPE meeting, the biggest challenge we had since last RIPE meet, and actually what Wolfgang also told you, that we were last time in the process of choosing a new switching platform, and we finally decided to go with Force 10. And what we did is we put out all of our Cisco Catalyst 6509s and migrated to the Force 10 E1200. The reason for that is the Force 10 delivers higher port density, and even the new X3 platform, which will come out end of beginning of next year, will be able to deliver 140 ports of 10 gig at wire speed. Second reason was end of last year, we were really severe hit by missing port security on the Cisco platform. We still were at that time using the sub 720, which is not able to provide port security on Ether channels. So between mid of November and end of January, we moved all of the gigabit and 10 gigabit ports, which was roughly 180 ports and 120 customers. And as far as the customers told us, it was a really smooth migration. At the same time, we also pulled back our customers from our POP at D63 at Tilly City Redpath, because we already promoted our new POP in Kleierstrasse beginning of mid of last year, and we put in D64 operational at Kleierstrasse at Herrenhotel. So this is our new topology. We have a fairly simple topology. It's just a string. We have four of the big E1200 boxes, and running dark fiber, redundant dark fiber in between. What we also have put over here are passive fiber switches, which switch over the whole trunk between these two boxes if this box should fail. That means this box is monitoring the whole trunk of fibers to this switch, and if this switch should fail, all of the trunks are automatically switched over to the other switch. So most of our customers are currently still at D61 and D62, which is at interaction side, roughly 75% of the customers, and rest of the customers are at Tilly City Redpath in Gutleutstrasse or at Kleierstrasse 90 at Herrenhotel. We see more and more customers having their second connection at Herrenhotel, which is also a big telecommunication hub in Frankfurt, especially for the classic voice carriers. This is where D6 is. If you look at from Google Earth, we have D61 and D62 at east of Frankfurt, D63 and D64 are just, no. This is central station, and there is D63 and this is D64. So what next is, as you probably might know, most of the day-to-day work at D6 is still done by our colocation partners. They do all the cabling and also hook up the customer to the switches and do the basic configuration on the switches. But starting this year, we hired also own engineers, Daniel Meltzer and Florian Tager, who was before that working for Interaction, respectively, Tilly City Redpath. We're also introducing a ticket system, RT, which will help us to keep pace with the growing demand of customers also. Other things Wolfgang is doing is relaunching our website to make it more customer-friendly and to offer you more information. for internal purposes as well as for customer purposes. We are working on a new management network management system who gives us a better overview and also offers customers better services. Well, we would also like, hopefully, be able to offer S-flow graphs in third quarter of this year. Administratively, we have new terms and condition, and we offer also real service level agreements starting of mid of this year. Sales-wise, with the overbooked 16 port card, we thought it would be a good idea to also offer what we call fractional 10 GE services, which perfectly match your STM16. That means the Force 10, 16 port, 10 GE is overbooked 4-to-1. And if you hook up with an STM16, 16 customers will be able to sit on one of these modules. There are also other IXPs in Germany. One of the more successful is based in Hamburg, so-called WorkIX. And WorkIX approached us, and we agreed to take over sales, marketing, and operations of the Hamburg-based WorkIX. And this also will start mid of this year. So now, for the events, Stephen already mentioned there will be a EPF 2.0 in November. We hosted and co-organized EPF 1.0 in Frankfurt last year. Here is just a few pictures of this event. We also hosted EuroX Forum, the 9th EuroX Forum in October last year, and two RIPE LEAR trainings. And upcoming events is Telex CBX in New York, Capacity CEE, Leak Experience Shops, and EPF 2.0. You see the statistics. So I just compared how we improved or developed between all the RIPE meetings, right, 52 to 53, and from 53 to now. What you can see is a dramatically increase in 10 gigabit ports and also in peak traffic. That's the same raw figures. Frank, just a few words. You will handing out.
It's pretty self-explaining, I guess.
Yes. We are also sponsoring the dinner on Thursday, and we will have T-shirts for you tomorrow. Okay. That's it. Questions to us? Thank you.
Thank you, Arnold. next up is Lynx.
Yes,
which will be followed by Mix and then Namex.
Hi everybody, I am Mike Hughes. I am the Chief Technical Officer of Lynx, for those who don't know me, but I think I know many familiar faces out there. And I'll give you a quick update on what's been going on at Lynx. The headlines, new and improved, are that Richard Yule, who some of you will know, and Richard, would like to just wave in case you don't know Richard, that's Richard. He's been promoted to the Sales and Marketing Manager now, so he's fulfilling that role. We've got continued member growth, we've got very few departures, a little bit of consolidation, particularly in the UK industry. The large broadband providers seem to be gobbling each other up at the moment. We've got some strong demand for 10 gigabit ports, and that appears to be growing. We've had some interesting developments with multicast, so we run PIM snooping now, and I've got some more interesting slides about that. We're introduced a availability metric, not for the platform that we operate, but for the member ports that are connected to it. So we're using how we monitor the upness of the member ports to try and produce some sort of number that's meaningful to them rather than meaningful to us. We've also moved office in London, and we've got a nice new facility there. The current vitals, when I made this presentation and uploaded it finished it yesterday, there was 137 gig. It's back up to 145, so something's happened overnight. And there was a 10 gigabit spike, I think, on the AMSIC stats, and we've got another 8 gigabit coming back as well. So whether it's just that the weather's bad in London as well, I don't know. 250 members, I've got 235 connected members, there's 6 associates, and we've got 9 members in provision at the moment. So we've actually had quite strong member growth in the past 8 weeks. Still the same presence in the same 7 sites in the London Docklands that you know about. We've got a vacancy for an additional member of our NOC staff. We're expanding that to continue the growth of the team. And one thing that we are exploring is additional co-locations and facilities in London. Some of you familiar with the London scene. Telehouse is one of the biggest facilities, but it's actually also quite space constrained. And we're looking at other locations. Quick network map looks pretty much the same as last time. It's Foundry and Extreme Network. This is the Foundry network. It's composed of multiple MRP rings. Biggest trunk size at the moment is 4x10 gig, but that will shortly be changing, going up to 8. Extreme, slightly less traffic on this LAN, so the current trunk size is only 2x10, but that's going to also increase, and we'll be adding some more chassis in there to cope with the 10 gig growth. Brings me on to this slide. We surveyed a number of our members. We know of at least an intent to order around 35 to 40 new ports to come before the year end, but we actually suspect there may be more demand than that that actually happens at the time. So what we need to do is we're going to deploy additional hardware from the existing vendors to manage this this immediate growth, and obviously upgrade the inter-switch, inter-site connections to handle that. All the growth that we're seeing tends to be concentrated around the Telehouse and a couple of the Telecity Redbus sites. And the possible deployment might be just a lot more switches in the middle and 8x10 gig pipes. Multicast. Things have been flat in this area for quite a while, but there's renewed interest from the BBC and others, and that's caused a surge in multicast traffic. So this was the aggregate multicast traffic, I believe, and as you can see, it was very, very dead. And then at the end of last year, in sort of November time, it started to peak. One thing that we did at that point was turn on PIM snooping, because you had a wide number of connection speeds. There was some people with an old router that only had a 10 meg interface, some people had 100, and the BBC came along and said, well, actually, if we send all this content, that's going to actually be 120 meg if all the streams are being pulled at once. So that meant you actually had to have PIM snooping turned on. This is a feature in Foundry, and as you can see, after the red line, so the top graph is a multicast sender, and the bottom is a multicast receiver who actually didn't want this stream but got it anyway, because of course without PIM snooping the switch is just flat. We turn PIM snooping on, and because he's not interested in that stream, he stops seeing it. And the output from the show IP multicast feature on Foundry, I've bridged the format slightly, but the green lines, you can actually see a group that somebody's joined. And you can see which MAC addresses are sourcing that and sending that, and which ones are interested in. And so group 3 and group 4 are ones where they're actually active joins. And we can actually see what's going on inside the switch, and it helps us to debug things when there's issues. And the other thing that we're going to do is make this information available through a looking glass into the switch for the members.
Does it just work, or is
there any problem? We have had problems in the MGA. If you're running older than 2.3.0 something, 2.3.0, it's either C or D, there is issues with memory leaks, and it causes sticky cam problems, cam pollution. That appears to now be fixed in 2.3.0D for MG8. We haven't noticed any significant problems on the RX16 nor on the Jekyll. So that brings me on to the next topic, which is the member quality metric. And what we're trying to do is calculate availability of ports from a member's perspective. So we're trying to use the monitoring information that we'd already got, account for things like member port outages, platform breaking, everything else. 2 minutes left. And what we had was this concept of peering path availability. Based it around the existing monitoring, which is based on pinging and watching other things. We deliberately didn't consider some other data sets because either they were incomplete, there was issues with holding state, or they weren't actually indicative of what's happening. you get these basic overall availabilities for each LAN. So this is not the uptime of the equipment, this is the uptime of people connected to the exchange as we measure it. And you can see this basic overview of both LANs with the 24-hour average. And this is averaged across all the member ports. And when a member port becomes unavailable, the average peering path availability is somehow reduced. And then you also have individual statistics. You can compare how you're doing. I've blacked out the names for anonymity. But at the top, you can see that this person's had a very good average. They've been up 100% on both LANs, so both Foundry and Extreme. And they've got they can look at then the average for across the entire members, and their availability is obviously better than everybody else. This is somebody with more ports, so they've actually got a much longer port listing, and they took a small hit on one of their ports, but not all of them. But then you've also got the graphs to compare. We've moved office in London. One of the things that we have got outside is blue men hanging off the front of the building. It's an artwork installation by an Israeli sculptor called Ofra Zimbalista, and it brightens up the front of the building. And our office is on the ground floor, so just outside of Howard's window, you can see the foot of the bottom blue man poking in at you. And you can be sat there, and everybody, you see people walking past, and they're looking up at you, and you're thinking, well, why are they looking at me? But they're looking at actually the blue men. It's really easy to find the building, and it's a really nice area. There's loads of stuff going on. Excellent places to go out and have lunch and socialise. And of course, the best thing is we have a much bigger lab, and those are the two pictures that you can see on the right, along with a really nice working environment for the staff. So our lab, we've got Foundry equipment, Extreme equipment, some Cisco equipment, 3 Ixia traffic generators, and some other good stuff. And has anybody got any questions? Okay, and finally, I think somebody said the other guys were talking about events. Yeah, well, we go to pretty much everything too, so we'll see you there.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Hi, I'm Simone Morandini from Mixe. I'm going to give you a short update on what's going on in Mixe. Let's start with the main news, that is also a good news, because after having relaxed our admission policy in 2006 by allowing hosters to join us, we can now also accept any subject that produces and distributes under license editorial contents, also known as content providers. Continuing on the administrative matters, with 2007 we decreased our joining fees and increased the steps of nominal bandwidth, because if you want to join Mix, you have to declare a nominal bandwidth you intend to use, and you are charged on a per bandwidth basis. So we introduced many new steps, and we generally decreased the price for each step. It's to be noticed that our basic kit includes 1/3 of rack space and one port on our switches, but with some nominal bandwidth you can also have a second port on our switches. Anyway, at this link you can find all the details for joining. In January we also distributed our first bonuses for our Mix Italia contest. In 2006 we reserved €50,000 as a total amount for bonus. The winner, let's say, of the contest earned around €10,000, and a total amount of 32 ISPs have been awarded. On the technical side, we reached our new traffic peak of 24.7 gigabits. And as many other internet exchanges, we are going to add a new core switch, Foundry RX 16, as our core switch. In the next months, we will be quite busy because we are going to expand our data center. For those who don't know, we run our own colocation space, and we now have around 140 square meters of data center. We are going to double it, more or less, resulting in 260 square meters, hopefully by next week, by next next year. On the S-Flow side, we are pretty active. We have now a quite interesting set of tools, mainly intended for our members, but also public available. Apart from the consolidated ones, that are the traffic metrics that shows the interface-to-interface aggregate traffic, and the peering matrix that shows the autonomous system-to-autonomous system peering status, we are going to release the traffic typology metrics. That is basically another interface-to-interface statistic, but give details on protocol usage, and for TCP and UDP also on application port usage. These graphs are private in the sense that only our members have access to them, and they are customizable to better see also low-level traffic. And finally, some words on our VoIP project. Since the last meeting, we did some reconsiderations, and we changed a bit the interconnection scheme that now relies on a built-in feature of our Nexton boxes named Realm. What basically happens is that the port of the SBCs can now be virtualized, and each VoIP service provider has its own signaling and media virtual interface that can be addressed within the IP space of the VoIP service provider, and that belongs to a dedicated layer 2 VLAN. In addition, there is a dedicated layer 2 environment that is a dedicated switch to this VoIP project. This is the interconnection scheme. So basically, a VoIP service provider connects its peering router to our session border controller. There is a mutual topology hiding scenario here. The signal VLAN and media VLAN are here depicted as a separate, but they can be also they can be also joined in one unique physical port. Last words. The cost of the service is based on a simultaneous call model. One remarkable thing is that it's open also to non-mixed members. We can dispose of a dedicated monitoring and management console. On this network, we run a private carrier enum database, and at the moment there are 12 testers connectors, but any new member is more than welcome. And that's it. Any questions?
No question. Thank you very much. We have a question.
Maurice Dean from Google. On the VoIP project, do you require licensed carriers to be, either members to be licensed carriers?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the particular type of license? And this might be a detail, but. There's a couple of different licenses, but okay, let's go.
The Italian one, yeah.
Right. Okay. you also mentioned licenses on your first slide regarding accepting content.
Yes.
Of course, I have an interest in this. this is it's the same question. Is it you're talking about the ISP license, or is there another license you're referring to?
No, the ISP license.
Okay, so content providers have to be ISPs in order to connect to the mix. So that's actually not a change.
Oh.
Okay, well, sorry, I just wanted to clarify the
Mauro Magrassi from Mix, I can answer you. The question, the answer is, you need in Italy, you need a license for being an IP operator generically. So the government doesn't care if you are an ISP selling services to end users or you are a content provider. But the good news is that that particular license works for the VoIP as well. So it's only one. It's the basic generic IP license for providing IP services.
Okay. We might talk about that offline. Thanks.
Thank you.
Last call for questions. Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Namex.
Wonderful 2 minutes warning card. Hi, I'm Daniele Arena. I'm the CTO of Namex, which is an internet exchange point in Rome, Italy. If you don't know it, all major Italian ISPs are actually connected, and several international ISPs. We can have everything like access ISPs, eyeballs, content. Whoever you are, you're welcome. What makes us unique is that since last year we're the only holy internet exchange point in the world, because you can peer with the Holy See. So, well, so if you want your router blessed, you know where to come. To serious things, we have what's happened since last year's. Since last year, we have basically a stable member base. We just passed the 5 gigabit peak of traffic, and that's due to private VLAN peering that has been just activated, you can see, like 2 weeks ago. The other thing that's new since last year, we said in Istanbul that we were opening a local IXP, that's just an experiment, in Bari, which is in southeastern Italy, just across from the Balkans. And, well, actually, the first bits did pass in October. As you can see, it's like just 1 meg, but, well, at least that worked. And we're actually just 2 peers, which is the Italian Research Network and a local ISP. We'll have a national ISP and other local ISPs, which is actually the point, to keep local traffic local, in hopefully soon. We're running yet another multicast experiment, but this time we're serious, because we're going to production after that. We have several content providers and access ISPs involved. We're doing this on the separate switch, but then in production we'll probably run this on the main VLAN or a separate VLAN on the same switch. One of the things we've been most successful in is creating a peering community in Italy. We're already in the third in our third. We have already run our third member meeting last October, and the second peering workshop, only with techies, just with limited attendees. But you can talk freely without managers there, and. We're also doing some VoIP. The Italian regulator has assigned the 55 prefix, which is for nomadic numbers. It is still unreachable by the PSTN, but will be or should be soon enough. What they want to do is to exchange their numbers. Well, they want to exchange them with the PSTN, but at least they want to exchange them between each other. So what we did is, having just a very, very simple infrastructure, we have an enum server delegating ranges, we have a SIP proxy and an RTP proxy if they need. And we have 8 participating voice over IP providers. And what's been keeping us very, very busy in the last months is the new Italian public administration network. It's actually quite a complex thing, and I'm not going to go into it now. But the important thing for us, Exchange Points, is that it is based on two national nodes, which are actually one in Milan and one in Rome. And what's weird enough is that us exchanges, we don't really do the exchange job here, but we only have to provide housing services. So no IP, nothing, just racks and space. And actually they got us to do that, so we couldn't even refuse to do it if you wanted. But the positive thing is that it has brought lots of improvements in our security measures to access the data centers. And I didn't even need the 2 minutes warning. So if you have questions, otherwise, thank you.
Any questions? Okay. Nendix and then NetNod.
Well, for the second time, good afternoon. This is my actual presentation. I'm going to be telling you shortly about an update on the Dutch-German Internet Exchange, Nederlandisch-Deutsche Internet Exchange, Nederlands-Duitse Internet Exchange. We're up to three languages. I'm hesitant to go for more. I'll keep it brief. This is one of these great slides, with thanks to Jessica Hagee. What's new? We've now got 156 members connected. About a year ago, that was 63, so we have been quite busy. Those 156 members are in turn connected to over 120 closed user groups, so if you will, 120 different VLANs in all sorts of configuration, and that's up from 45 last year. So. The infrastructure and not least the configuration of the infrastructure is getting more and more complex. Progress in Germany, the German side of it, we now have about 40 German members. We've opened a couple new sites, and there's a couple more sites planned that will be open within the next few months. So those are Steinfurt and Emstetten, which are cities in between Enschede and Münster. And there's a couple more sites planned there. The progress in the Netherlands, I've only written down three because there's tons more, but these are the ones that I already had to order the switches for. So, okay. This is the picture of what it actually looks like right now, or should look like. It's there's some more fibers in there, of course, to provide for some more redundancy, but this is about the configuration of the current Internet Exchange network. As you can see, it's covering quite a large area by now. So what is my challenge as CTO of this thing? Apart from all the other challenges the Internet Exchanges have with, well, making sure that you carry enough traffic from one switch to the other. Your normal Internet Exchange only operates a few Ethernet segments. Those Ethernet segments carry a tremendous amount of traffic, but it's only a single segment. So your normal Internet Exchange would have a single cloud or a single cloud that's managed, and you've got a couple of customers connected to that. The normal metro carrier would have separate circuits or separate environments for separate customers, and have a bunch of those connected into their own infrastructure. However, this is a challenge I'm looking at. And you must now imagine that instead of just the, how much did I put there? 9 customers and 3 different user groups, I have 156 users and 120 different user groups, all completely spread along. And My fear is that not only that we will have another 100 customers in the next year, but also another 300 extra user groups. And well, as you can imagine, that doesn't really scale very well on an Ethernet platform. So this is what we're looking at, and I'm hoping to find a solution, but we're not there yet. So that's it. Thanks for your time, and next time I'll bring a new logo with me. Any questions?
Okay, thank you, Remco. Next is Curtis, and we don't have to worry about 2-minute time cards with Curtis.
That depends on how many slides I have.
We have faith.
I think John Ling still remembers when he asked me to speed up a bit. yeah, I'm Curtis Lindquist from NetNode. You must have seen me before. NetNode is a non-for-profit exchange in Sweden, owned by a foundation. We operate completely independent standalone exchanges in 5 Swedish cities, from Luleå in the north to Malmö in the south. And again, they are not interconnected. There's no capacity between them. And in Stockholm, we actually have 2 switches that are not interconnected either. As you know, this time I didn't include the cool pictures of the bunkers, but most of you heard this before. The NetNode switches are not located in traditional colos. They are located in government-owned and controlled secure facilities. And in Stockholm, there's 2 of them. If you connect to NetNode in Stockholm, we will provide fibers from each of the bunkers to your location. And it will be 2 fibers and 2 ports. So all NetNode prices in Stockholm are 2 times the capacity listed, i.e. if you buy a gig port, you get 2 gig ports, 1 fiber to each switch. And the switches in Stockholm are not connected either. In the other cities, you will have to find, first of all, the bunkers, and second of all, the fibers, but we will actually tell you where the fiber, where the addresses are once you want to connect to them, but in Stockholm, the locations are not disclosed. So therefore, the prices in the other cities are significantly cheaper because there's no fiber and there's only 1 port. Some hot news is that as of January 1st, we have done some changes to our fee structure. We have lowered the prices with around 25%. We have changed from annual in advance payment to quarterly in advance payment, which was, I think, the number top requested change from all the members. So it was a quite significant price reduction over this. Something I completely forgot while making the slides is that, in a way, hopefully this is the last time I'm standing here, because we have hired an outreach coordinator that will do the as we are non-for-profit, we don't like to call it sales, but let's picture it as sales. We hired Neuralin in Pune, which most of you know, who used to work for Ripe and now works at Apenic. She will join us on June the 18th, and we're really excited about that. So next time, you will get a much more professional presentation than done by me. Probably more interesting, too. Some of the services you get at NetNode run a lot number of common infrastructure services that you will get access to while peering with us. Probably the most interesting here that might be worth spending some time on is actually not even listed. It's a service called TP Test. The Swedish government, Consumer Protection Board, something like that, have a service called TP Test, which is a client software that any broadband user can download and run to verify that the connection speed that they bought or thought they bought from the provider actually can be delivered. And the reference point of measure has so far always been NetNode in Stockholm. That is changing. As of the fall, there will be reference points at all the NetNode exchanges all across Sweden. This has seen, of course, I like to think this has nothing to do with it, but there seems to be a small rush among Swedish broadband providers to connect to all the other cities as well. Not that I would think that have sold something they didn't have, though, of course, but there is a lot more denser interconnection going on in Sweden at the moment for several reasons. I'll get to that in a second. Connected customer, we're seeing huge uptake in 10 gig. The new pricing structure have made a difference between 1 and 10 gig even less. And there is also a lot of upgrades happening in the broadband market. People either getting ADSL 2+, 20 plus megabit, or 100 megabit fiber to the home connections, which is driving bandwidth quite significantly. And also the number of 10 gig ports are being driven quite significantly for this. probably more recent at TPTest. But one of the reasons why TPTest is also being brought out to all the exchanges and being upgraded is because we want to be able to measure 100 meg fiber to the home connection from the end user to these connection points. I say that knowing that there is no standard Windows installation that can actually generate 100 meg per second, which is a bit exciting. Traffic statistics. We're actually above 100 gig for some time. It's been going up and down a bit. This makes, with the I think there's 42 or 43 connected providers, this should be around 2.2 gigabit per provider connected, so it's quite a little traffic per provider. Stockholm is way over half. Someone asked me yesterday, I said that Stockholm was 50%. I lied. It's probably 65-70% in Stockholm. Just a small picture of who are the people sending traffic to us. This is a tool we've developed, but this is a snapshot sometime yesterday. This is a sliding with 24-hour window. I don't know if we're going to make this public or not, but it might be interesting to take a look at. So far, it's just a private tool we have of who are the most active AS numbers at the moment sending traffic. And we can see that the Comhem, which is a large broadband provider, leads this traffic. And they're also doing most of the bandwidth to the home. And I'm done, so I made it within the 2 minutes. Questions? Are you really excited waiting for someone else than me standing here? speaking a bit slower. All right, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you, Curtis. Next up is Nick CZ Joseph. Then it'll be topics, then Vienna, and then we can all go home. Well, it's either that or the general meeting.
Good afternoon. My name is Josef Homen. I'm representing Nix CZ in Prague, Czech Republic. I will give a very short presentation. So from the last time, the number of the networks and ports and 10 gig ports increased. You can see the real numbers in the table. Also, the number of networks doing IPv6 peering has increased. At this moment, we can say that we have all our all four POPs ready for 10 gig connections of members. We made this upgrade in January this year, as we promised last year. Our traffic, which was in October above 16 gigabit totally, it went up to more than 20 late November, and at this moment it's more than 24 gigs. We are hosting DNS servers of .eu, .be, and we are working on some others. And this is for information, the current price scheme. And the important message is that we allow the 10 gig ports members by decreasing the setup fee very rapidly, as we had promised last year. And this is current graph of the total traffic. And that's it. And I have to say that if anyone is interested in information of about NixCZ or about our marketing toys and things, this is, for example, pen with compass. So we have special things for new members and also for friends. So if someone wants something nice, come to me later. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Simone Arena, and I'm here to give you a brief update on topics. Actually, it's going to be more an introduction since it's the first time I've been talking to this working group. So, briefly, who we are. Topics is stands for Torino and Piemonte Internet Exchange. So, we are geographically distributed in the northwest of Italy. We are a no-profit consortium, recently reached 41 members, and we have a very open policy, meaning everyone has an autonomous system is welcome to join the exchange. So this brought us a great variety of members, going from ISPs to content providers to public administration. Operation-wise, we have two main souls, like the internet exchange, so all the operation dedicated to provide and to facilitate the exchange of IP traffic among our members, and what we have called the development program. Started a year ago, this is dedicated to foster the growth of internet and internet-related business in the region. I'll talk more about this in a few slides. The backbone, we, as I said, we are geographically distributed over this, that is the region of Piedmont and Valle d'Aosta, and we have 720 kilometers of fiber. The idea is bringing the fiber and internet with the one of the topics node close to where the development could be, the green areas. So not the major city, not only the major city, but also the small cities where the new Google, the new YouTube can be tomorrow. Few data regarding the internet exchange. This is the list of switches. We are a Cisco shop. What's going on? We have project on NetFlow, InterIS multicast testing, new website to represent more the other side of what we are doing, the development program. And we are working on some tools for our members. Traffic-wise, recently we reached this peak, 4.7. Right now, if you go and see, it's much lower because of problems and two of our members, content provider members, are having on their network. And hopefully it will be up soon to this level again. One of the tools that we have developed is a mashup with Google APIs to show where our location is located, so members and prospecting members can see where we are, have information about the switch in that location, the number of ports, and actually measuring also the distance between their site and our POP. And we are working with Search to provide something like this for URIX, having a map of all the internet exchanges. The development program. So the mission here for Topics is, as I said, grow the internet and internet-related businesses. How do we want to do this? Through supporting innovative projects. You have an idea. We say come and test it in this big test bed. It could be something new from a technological point of view. It can be something new from a business-wise point of view, business model. So we, as Topics, we provide, we facilitate the development of this idea, providing the infrastructure, providing the project management. This is because we have seen that too many times the implementation gap is too high for people that had new ideas, because the ideas are there. But you know, in order to implement it, sometimes it takes efforts, and so we can help there. With the creating what we call an open innovation environment. So everybody should contribute to this. It's not like operating in your own silos, in your own lab, without interacting with anyone. Google and Yahoo, what they're doing is going into this direction. So we want to do the same. So the model is very simple. So we start from this collaborative environment. We have so many different type of members, so let's put them together, right? We are a consortium, so the members are there. So from this members and also from outside contributors, we have ideas on proposal for projects. So we conduct a feasibility studies on this, and some of this will become project aiming at some beta trial targets. So we say, come and experiment here. You have these numbers, and these are the numbers for the region of Piedmont. And hopefully, this project will become business, and business in the sense activities that are self-sustainable. And we give a support of maximum 3 years to evaluate this. I mean, if your idea is successful, it should become a business in 3 years, hopefully sooner. So just going to give you some example of some innovation projects that are going on right now. We have Game Tribes TV, that is a web TV completely dedicated to gaming, the first one in Italy, an internet movie distribution system, a peer-to-peer TV with long tail type of content, and a web radio and TV from all the universities in Piedmont. So just to give you an example. I'm actually done. If you have some questions. Thank you.
Thank you. So now Christian from Vienna.
Christian Panigl, Vienna University. We are operating the Vienna Internet Exchange since more than 10 years now. As of May 2007, we have 89 participants, which is more or less stable since the last 2 years. Some are coming, some are leaving, some are consolidating themselves. And they are on 119 ports, and we had a significant increase in the number of AESs and participants doing IPv6 since the last time. I think it increased by 50% or something. So we have now 19 members doing IPv6. So the amount of traffic is neglectable, but at least the number of peers willing to do IPv6 exchanges is increasing. Our total summary peaks are at 13 gigabits currently. We have been slightly above that 1 or 2 months ago, but as Serge was showing, the weather in Europe is so nice that people are obviously deciding to go to the woods or somewhere else instead of sitting in front of their computers. Since a little bit more than a year, we are running on a new platform. It's the same platform like many of the other European exchange points are now deploying. It's Foundry Big Iron RX16s, and we are running on them without any incidents apart from one scheduled software upgrade in the middle of this schedule. So other than most of those who have presented today, we can make available lots of 10 gig ports still, because we haven't sold any since we deployed the new platform, except those we have bought ourselves, being also the operator of the research network, Arconet. So if you need 10 gig ports, come to Vienna. We have lots of them. As of the last membership meeting, we are now also welcoming content distribution networks and similar providers like search engines or stuff. So those are welcome according to our existing members. To remind that we now also have in place a strict port security policy, which still only allows one MAC address, but now shuts down the port whenever we see more than two. We allow two for only for hardware transition reasons. And we are allowing remote peering router connections, but only on layer one, meaning you may place your router at home, connecting it via dark fiber or any kind of wavelength division multiplexing. We still do not allowing any intermediate layer two equipment. So that's the new charging since April 2006. It's more or less average charging scheme in Europe. And now we have deployed a new web page, and one of the new public features of this web page is a new peering traffic matrix, which is no longer maintained by the members themselves, but is based on S-flow statistics, which are automatically updated every 12 hours. So there is an analyzer module which is analyzing the S-flow statistics and marking the matrix for every traffic relation. So be careful, it's no longer a peering matrix, it's a peering traffic matrix. So if two members have a peering in place but do not exchange any traffic, then the matrix is showing no peering traffic. I will show you the page in a minute. There is a IPv4 and IPv6 view available, and for those providers who don't want to show their peering traffic relations, they can opt out, which hasn't been... we only have three ISPs, I think, which use this opt-out possibility. We are still working on a new portal, which is in beta. We have invited some of our participants to test the new portal, and we seem to do quite well. So we plan to go in production at latest in June. The portal is written in PHP, and the content management system which is used is Typo 3. This is also used for the whole web pages, of course. We have integrated event management for organizing meetings and similar events. There is a layer 2 view available, which gives you a mapping between IP and MAC addresses. This is only available for members. Also only available for members or participants is an IXP watch view and a Nagios view. Nagios is the monitoring tool we are using to monitor all the ports and connections to the exchange. And in addition, there is an S-flow peering traffic view available, also only for participants. This is again based on S-flow, on sampled S-flow. The ratio is one out of 8,192 packets. So it's not very, very exact, but it's enough to get a feeling about your peering volume with other participants. This is written to RRD files and can be viewed by participants, but only their own views towards the other members. There are various subviews available. It's a per port statistic and a per peer statistic. And again, you can decide if you want to view the IPv4 or the IPv6 traffic. And there is an easy button to see just the top 5 peers of yourself. There are some acknowledgments to be spelled. IXP Watch was initially written by Rob Lister of Lynx. We are using the S-flow collector module, which was written by Elisa Jasinska for AMSIX, and all the rest was developed by my colleagues Christine Dwork and Wolfgang Hennerpichler, who can't be here today. So, any questions, or if there is still time, I will show you a screenshot, or not a screenshot, a brief digging in. Sorry, it wasn't there. So first, the peering matrix. I show you the IPv6 peering matrix because the IPv4 matrix would be too big for the screen. And as I said, this is just done by Automagic's S-flow analysis. You can also go into selective view, for instance, looking ARCONET and looking up ARCONET and show all the peering information, which gives you not a matrix but a list of peers of ARCONET, and this can be then sorted, for instance, all the peers with ARCONET showing with yes, IPv4 peers, and so on. So this is available publicly. I start with the layer 2 view I was mentioning. This is just giving you a list for all the participants. It's very easy to find out if you have problems with a specific MAC address or an IP address, to find out whom this is belonging to. There is the normal IXP watch view, which is currently nothing else than a dump of the ASCII file, which is 1 hour watching of the anomalies or ARP requests and anomalies on the layer 2 LAN, on the peering LAN. We have this view of network monitoring, which is just giving parts of the Nagios view. You can see all the problems on the exchange itself, and for your own equipment you can see which monitoring points we are watching for you. And the peering traffic, last but not least, gives a lot of different options. And if you are looking at ARCONET again, you can, for instance, have a look at the top 5 ISPs, which is sorting the top traffic with other AESs. And the same view, top 5 is available, for instance, for only by port. If you're dual connected to the exchange. And there is an additional feature available in this matrix that you will be alerted if you are doing peering in a suboptimal way. So if you could do peering on the same switch instead of crossing the inter-switch links, then you will be warned by the statistics. Not price-wise, traffic-wise, because traffic which stays at the switch itself, then it's the convergence is more optimal. If there are some failures or anything, then traffic doesn't have to converge BGP-wise between two switches. So it's not forbidden, but we are also using or having in place this BGP site-specific BGP communities, which makes it easy for customers to configure their BGP sessions to prefer peerings which are on the same switch. Okay, that's it. Any questions? Yeah, of course, and Serge was already mentioning we are the hosts of the next EuroX forum in November in Vienna. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Christian. Okay. If anybody hasn't signed the attendee sheet, could they come up and sign it? And we'll see you all in Amsterdam in October. So thank you very much for coming.